So today's reading is Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, and I'm reading from the ESV. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
It's always a thrill for Sheila and myself to come and join with you here in Bourne and praise and worship the Lord together and to gather around his word and to learn from it. So thank you very much for inviting me to contribute to your series of God Offers. And as you've heard many times already, the theme for today is God Offers Purpose and Direction. Something happened to me on Saturday the 27th of June 1970 that radically changed my life. It's a date I will never forget. And I also have to say it radically changed the life of somebody else. You probably guessed it was the day that I got married. The day that Sheila and I became husband and wife. And suddenly, my life had a new purpose and direction. Now there was a new lifelong relationship at the heart of everything I thought, and of everything I did. And you know, this is a picture of what happens to us when we respond to God's call to repentance and take him as our Saviour. Suddenly, our lives have a new purpose and direction. Now, there is a new lifelong relationship at the heart of everything we think and of everything we do. So, this theme today, God offers purpose and direction. So, what's God's purpose for us? It seems to me that like our wedding cake, there are three layers to it. Three aspects, if you like, that are all happening concurrently. They're distinct, and yet they are wonderfully connected, intertwined even, you might say. So let's consider together each of these layers in turn. So, because I'm a numerical kind of chap, we'll start with layer one. Layer one. There is an overarching purpose and direction. There is an overarching purpose and direction. Having responded to God's call to repentance, we find that God has an overarching purpose for us. A meta-narrative, if you like, to the story of our lives. And that is to bring us to glory. Hallelujah. That's the overarching purpose that God has for us, to bring us to glory. We just read in Romans 8 and verse 30, those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he did what? He also glorified. Being justified, simply put, means being made righteous in God's sight. I'm sure you've heard the little thing that goes with that. It's just as if I'd, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Oh, the mercy and wonder of God. Just as if I'd never sinned. All because of what he did. And justification is usually coupled with the process of sanctification, which means becoming more like Christ in our lives. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6:11 we read, and I quote, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So, we're presented with this amazing, with this mind-boggling spiritual equation: justification plus sanctification equals glorification. Justification plus sanctification equals glorification. And that is God's ultimate purpose for us, to bring us to glory. Amazingly, one day, as Romans 8:17 puts it, we will, and I quote, share in his glory. Isn't that just amazing? We're going to share in the glory of Almighty God, puny humans that we are. Yet his love for us, his mercy, his grace, so fantastic that he wants us to be partakers of his glory. Amazingly, one day we're going to be with him forever. Hallelujah. This life down here is but a small little glimpse, foretaste of what it's going to be like when we're together with the Lord. Hallelujah. As the hymn writer poetically puts it, and I quote, "The sky, not the grave, is our goal." From "It Is Well With My Soul." It Is Well With My Soul's a hymn, if you're wondering. Our direction of travel is heavenward. That's our direction. Our direction of travel is heavenward. And you know, everything we do, everything we say, everything we are, should reflect that fact. So that's layer one of the cake. That is our purpose. Layer two, there is a common purpose and direction. There is a purpose that all of us share. And the purpose of the life of each one of us is this. So if you're wondering, what is the purpose of my life? Nick's already been telling us a bit about this. The purpose is of our life is to serve God. That's the purpose. To serve God. And this purpose should direct our lives. Now there are two main but interlinked parts to serving God. The first of these is worship. We're to bring our praise and thanks to God. We're to lift up his name through words and song. We're to glorify God together as his people. Look at Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4 in particular. But worship also involves being disciples of Christ. It involves deepening our relationship with Christ. It's about applying his teaching so that we live holy lives before him. And it's about seeking to become more like him day by day. That's worship. That's the common purpose and direction of you and of me. The second one is works. So we've got two W's there for you to remember: worship and works. Okay? Works. We are to serve God by doing the good works that he has prepared for us to do. Ephesians 2:10. He didn't save us to sit still, quiet, in a corner and do nothing and say, "Hallelujah, I'm on my way to glory." Which is a hallelujah thing to say, but that's not all there is about it. He has works for us to do, things he wants to see us doing. And do you know what I'm finding? There is no retirement age in the kingdom of God. So don't think you're going to be able to sit back in church one day and fall asleep on the back row. Wake up there. there is never an end to serving God. And it's the most wonderful thing to do, and I praise God for that. None of us becomes redundant in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. None of us gets pensioned off in the kingdom of God. We're all in it together forever. Amen. So we're to do these works that God has prepared for us to do. And these works, coupled with the integrity of our lifestyles, will be a powerful witness to the world. If we do God's works and we live lives of integrity that reflect and show and demonstrate and exemplify what we claim to believe, then that's a powerful witness to the world. So that's layer two. There's a common purpose and direction for each one of us. Now we come to layer three. And it's this, that there is a specific purpose and direction for each one of us. So we need to ask ourselves, how does that common purpose of serving God actually work out in my life? What does that look like? How do I know how to serve him? Where to serve him? What direction to take? In other words, how do I know what to do? How do I know what God's specific purpose is for my life? Well, I'd suggest that there are three key words to remember when seeking answers to these questions. And just for helping us all to remember them, they all begin with the letter L. We're whizzing around the alphabet today, aren't we? And the three words are this: listen, look, and live. Listen, look, and live. So let's consider them together in turn. Number one, listen. Listen to God's voice. If you want answers to those questions, listen to God's voice. In my experience, there are various ways that God speaks to us. For example, I find that God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. The thing is, do we read it regularly? Not just on a Sunday morning when we come to church, but do we read it regularly? Is it part of our lives? Is it part of the opportunity we give to God to speak to us through it? Do we meditate on it? Meditate means to chew the cud. Did you know that? That's what meditate means. It means to chew the cud, like the old cows in the field, getting every drop of goodness out of God's word. The psalmist talked about meditating on his word day and night. Or do we just rush through it? Challenging, isn't it? I know our lives are busy, busy, busy. Even when you're retired, they're still busy, busy, busy. Because you have other responsibilities come your way. And do we ask God to speak to us and to direct us through it? You know, when I open it up, do I say, Lord, I'm listening. If you want to speak to me, please do. I'm all ears. So God speaks to us through his word. But he can't if we don't read it. If it's a closed book, if you get my meaning. Secondly, God speaks to us through the sermons that we hear. Oh yes, us preachers do have value. We bring God's word. And just occasionally, the Holy Spirit is gracious enough to take that word and plant it firmly in our hearts. I believe that God will speak to us through every single sermon we hear if we are open to hear God's voice. And not only through the sermons that we hear, but through the songs that we sing. Those words that God can speak to us through can quicken into our hearts and lives as we worship him, you know. I mean, when we come to church, what's our attitude? This always challenges me. Because, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a struggle, you know, to get there. Oh, it'd be much nicer just turn over and pull the duvet over, you know. But no, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go because I'm expecting to hear God speak to me. Personally. Is that how we come? Is that the attitude we bring every time we come to church? Do we expect to hear God speak to us personally? Challenging stuff, isn't it? So God's speaking through his word, he's speaking through the sermons, and he speaks, believe it or not, through you and me, through other people. Are we open to receive words from other people? Let me share something with you from my own personal experience. I knew God had opened the way for me to take early retirement for a purpose. But I had no firm idea of what direction to take. There were various ideas sloshing around in my fertile brain, but there was nothing really positive and definite. And then I preached one Sunday morning. In fact, it was the first Sunday morning I preached after I'd taken the early retirement. And a guy in the congregation came to me and he said, "I thought that was brilliant," he said. "Have you ever thought about writing it down?" I said, "No." Nobody had ever said that to me in all my years of preaching. But after I retired, first sermon, "Have you ever thought about writing it down?" I mean, this guy didn't know what had been going on in my mind, what was happening in my life. He said, "Because I think you should." And one thing led to another. And then there was another guy. We had, at the back of the church, we had a little bookstall thing. And I was standing there a couple of weeks later, just looking at the books and taking them up and just seeing what were there. And he came up behind me and he said, "You shouldn't be reading books, you should be writing them." I thought, what? I never ever thought of being a writer. Oh, I can talk. You can tell I can talk. I used to be a teacher, for goodness sake. I can talk. I can preach, so I'm told. But writing was a whole new ball game. Never even thought about it. But that's what he said. And what is even more interesting is when I spoke to him on another occasion about what he'd said, he had absolutely no recollection of saying those words to me at all. The input from those two people completely changed the direction of my life and gave me a new purpose. I believe that God spoke to me through them. And the books that I've written as a result of them speaking to me in my life are still being sold all over the world. To God be the glory. I don't tell that for my own self-aggrandizement. I tell it for the glory of God. He spoke to me through other people. Two quite independent people who had no idea what was going on in my life, and yet, there it was. Having said that, my advice is this: always seek confirmation from other sources of what you believe God has said to you. Otherwise, you could find yourself going in the wrong direction. It's very, very important to get confirmation. I was always brought up on the thing of being three. If I've got three separate independent sources that are saying the same thing to me, then this is something I need to take up with the Lord. Seriously. So God speaks to us through other people. And also God speaks to us in our quiet time, as we call it. The problem with the quiet time, in my experience, is that this is often not actually a quiet time at all. It's rather a noisy time. Because you see, I'm so busy bringing my requests to God that I forget to shut up and listen to what God might be wanting to say to me. I'm so busy saying things to God. Oh, I've got this list. All these things. So the quiet time gets to be a noisy time. That doesn't mean to say God only speaks into our lives during our quiet time. Don't get me wrong. Hear what I'm saying. God can speak at any time. In my experience, in fact, often God speaks when we're least expecting it. Just out of the blue, whack, something comes into my mind. And I'm sure others of you have had that experience. So my advice is stay tuned all the time. Don't turn the radio off, stay tuned. God may well be coming through at any point. So listen, because God speaks to you through his word, through the sermons, through the songs, through other people, and in our quiet time, and in other ways besides. So secondly, we move on to the word look. Look at the abilities that God has given you. If you're seeking what your purpose is, look what God's given you. Or to put it another way, examine the equipment in your toolbox. What's God equipped you with? What skills have you got? Because you see, your God-given purpose in life is to use the skill set that God has equipped you with in order to bring honor and glory to his name. He hasn't just given you those skills so you can have a nice life. He's given you those skills for a purpose, so that you can use them for his glory in your life. Now that may be through your career, through your vocation that you choose. It may be through your work in the church fellowship. It may be in some other way altogether. And in fact, it's probably a combination of all of them. Your God-given equipment also indicates the direction of travel for your life. Now, this may well change during the course of your life, like it did for me. It changed the course after I got to 50. It changed. So don't think you're just on one pathway, because God may have other things for you to do. We need to be listening. And I just wonder, can I challenge you this morning? You don't mind, do you? You know me well enough by now. I just wonder how many of our tools are lying idly in the box. How many of our tools are lying idly in the box? Remember the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold, Matthew 25, 14 to 30. The master expected what he gave the servants to be used, not buried in the ground. I have to say my hero in that story is the one who got the two talents, not the one who got the five. Because the one who got the two could have said, oh, I've given him five, given me two. Not bothering them. That was the attitude of the one who only got the one talent. Buried in the ground. But the one who got two doubled it. And you know, you got exactly the same praise and reward as the one who got the five talents and doubled it. Anyway, I digress. But that, I think, is a really, really important part, that we don't look at what others have got. Oh, I wish I had their toolbox. Oh, if I had that toolbox, I could do this, 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 and this. God hasn't given you that toolbox. God's given you your toolbox. It's unique. Use it. Look at it. Say, thank you, God, for giving me these abilities. I'm going to use them for your glory. All my life, I'm going to use them for your glory. I'm not going to bury them in the ground and sulk in a corner. I'm going to get on with serving you. You see, God has equipped us for service. 1 Corinthians 12, 5-6 says this, and I quote, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God has equipped us for service. What's my skill set? What's in my toolbox? What am I not using at the moment that I ought to be? That shows direction of travel for my life. That indicates what God's purposes are for me. So listen, look, and now live. Live a holy life. In other words, live a life that is pleasing to God. Such a lifestyle will impact the people around us because they'll see something different. We're supposed to be different from the world. We're in the world, but not of it. And therefore, our lifestyle, if we're living according to the way that pleases God, will impact. And this will help us to fulfill another purpose that God has for each one of us, and that is of sharing the gospel and bringing people to Christ. We all have that purpose. God has given us that purpose. And secondly, living a holy life shows that we are acknowledging God in our lives and trusting him for the future. I acknowledge God, I acknowledge his lordship by submitting to his ways in my life. According to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, these are prerequisites for knowing his direction in our lives. These well-known verses, let me just remind you, and I quote, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding," or what you think you know, or what I know. "In all your ways," do what? Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. And we acknowledge him by living lives that are pleasing to him. It can be also translated, submit to him. Submit to him. What's my submission ratio or rating at the moment, I wonder? And that's not the end of it. It goes on, "And he will direct your paths," purpose and direction there in those verses. And this also means that when trials come our way, as we've been thinking about already, God will bring something for our good out of each and every one of them. That's what we read in Romans 8, 28. "Even out of my 3-hour, 32 staples operation to remove a cancerous cyst from my left kidney. Even out of a drastic bout of cellulitis when I was hospitalized for 14 days and they pumped so much penicillin into my body that I'm now allergic to it. Sometimes we wonder if speakers have been through trials, don't we, the way they stand and talk about it. Yes, bringing good out of experiences such as those is a mark of a loving God. That no trial I go through is wasted. God will bring good out of it. I don't believe God sends the trials upon us, but I believe trials come our way because we live in a sinful and fallen world. And the grace and mercy of God is that he uses those things to teach us, to give us new experiences. Isn't it often when we're in the most desperate state that we learn the most about God? I find that to be so. I find that to be so. A God who, according to Romans 8, 31 to 39, from reading on from where we stopped, a God who is for us. God is for you. God is for me, and who will allow nothing but nothing to separate us from his stupendous love. A love that brought Jesus down to die on a cross so that we might be justified and sanctified and one day brought through all our trials and into his glorious presence to be there with him forever. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. Amen. God bless you all.